All right. Little family business, okay? Just get a little closer to your radio. What is it that you don't like to talk about in your family? You know, the subject that gets whispered at the rehearsal dinner, never mentioned openly when the parents were there, possibly shouted about when no one involved can hear. Conflict between siblings. Yeah, that's the mother load. It's generally in the headlines of family business, although you might need a decoder ring to decipher what's actually going on because it's always whispered. Steer clear of this subject. Do not call that sister. Do not confront that brother. We will not clear this air. No, 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 no. Well, psychotherapist Dr. Jeannie Safer has taken all of this on in her new book, Cain's Legacy, Liberating Siblings from a Lifetime of Rage, Shame, Secrecy, and Regret. And she's sitting right here in the studio. Doctor, welcome to the program.
I'm delighted to be here.
That's a tall order. Liberating siblings from a lifetime of rage, shame, secrecy, and regret.
Well, they first have to know that there's a problem and learn to speak about it, you know, to themselves, because people don't really think about this or look at it. It's just a fait accompli, and we're stuck with it. And I'm saying open it up.
And this goes way back before the Bible. Your title of your book is Cain's Legacy, but you can find this sort of thing in one-celled organisms.
Yes, you can find it in bacteria. You can find it in a tree, my favorite tree, which has a bad seed. It's the Indian rosewood tree, and the pod, the first seed that opens up, sends poison through all the other seeds.
Oh, my God. That's great. My brothers and sisters might think of me as that pod, right. I think, possibly in my family. So what are we – first of all, there's the issue of prevention. What can parents do to maybe raise children to prevent these kinds of natural phenomena from manifesting in terribly discomforting ways? Right. And then what do you do about it when you get to a point where the kids aren't speaking?
Right. Well, first of all, we're talking about – kids that not only don't speak, but never do speak, you know, who are not friends ever. That's really what the book's about, not people who just have little tips. But I have some unconventional advice for parents, that the best way to deal with what's going on with your children is to think about what happened between you and your brothers and sisters. Because what happens is parents project everything that went on in their own families onto their children. And that's where the real fun begins.
Oh, great. Well, I've probably made a mess of things there. All right, so let's talk a little bit about issues that come up between siblings. First of all, there's the eldest or the favored child who other children believe is getting more of the parents' attention. And then when their success creates problems for other kids in the family, it can have huge problems as adults.
Yes, absolutely. And the biggest issue there is not that one does better than the other, but how the parents treat that success. And if a parent, say, is identified with a successful one and favors them inordinately, as happened in my family to me, I happen to have that at least on the surface envied position, then it breeds such malcontent and such envy. One of my subjects was quite well known, and he had a brother who made a lot of money. And the brother said to him, you know, when I went through mom's stuff, I found a shoebox of stuff of mine and a whole closet of stuff of yours.
Man.
You know, and what do you say? They were both in their 50s. So the younger one, who'd had a career in journalism, said, what was I supposed to do, unwrite my books?
Wow.
You know.
So you say you had this problem in your life, coming from the perspective of the favorite child.
Yes, I was the baby and I was the favorite and I was the girl.
So if I were to call up one of your siblings, would they view this book as a recompense, as contrition, or?
I hope so.
Nice. Nice.
Because one of the things that happened to me is I realized that being in the favored position, which, by the way, every favored kid feels both entitled to it and kind of secretly guilty about it. Because you know that whatever you accomplished, it doesn't really legitimize that your parents thought you were fabulous.
Right. Although my mother claims that my father always was actually worshipped by his parents, and that explains his success. And my dad has no memory of it.
Well, it can explain your success, but it certainly doesn't mean you're successful as a brother and sister.
Right.
Usually. Because the favorite child does do better in the world. There's a lot of statistics that show that. Even they're healthier, even. But the relationships between a very favored, kind of flagrantly favored child and siblings is not usually that great.
Some of the best stories in this book involve how money can make things really miserable and awful. Tell us some stories.
Oh, my goodness. Money really comes between people, and between siblings particularly. The worst place is in wills, because if you think people favor their kids. Imagine when they leave everything to one child and nothing to the other. I had three different instances where the family home was left to one sibling and nothing to the others, including one where the son had actually built the house and it was given to the sister.
Well, this is parents really making a bad situation worse.
That's what happened so much.
So how do you get out of it? Let's assume a worst case scenario where a parent has left everything to one child and nothing to the others. How are they? What are the strategies that those individuals can use to sort of clear the air, to create common ground, to say, all right, well, this happened, but, you know, da 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 da.
Well, if the one who got all the money keeps all the money, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, bad idea.
The only situation that I heard, actually, I had one remarkable story where this did happen, and the brothers went to the sister who was, she wasn't left out. Their children were given, were made equal partners. They said, we can't let this happen. We're giving you a third. And they had a good relationship. But once one takes everything, it's really done.
Let's speak to the numbers of people who probably aren't going to be left anything by their parents and where money isn't so much of an issue. But still, there are
you know,
tensions and siblings don't speak. How would you advise families to basically raise issues that
don't get raised?
Don't get raised, and everybody feels like, oh, this is not worth it. Is it worth it?
Well, what I suggest is very often it is worth it. Not every single time. You have to think about whether it's worth it. And if it is, the one piece of advice I suggest is take the initiative yourself. Go to the person or write to the person, not an email, an actual letter.
Not an email.
No, because you want to show that you're really thinking about it. And you want to say, look, we don't get along. We're getting older. We're going to be all we have left. I'd like to try to work it out. I'd like to try to understand what went wrong so that now that we're adults and mom and dad aren't there, we can make it better.
Do it before it's too late.
Yes.
One of the pieces of advice from Dr. Jeannie Safer's book, she's a psychotherapist and author of Cain's Legacy, Liberating Siblings from a Lifetime of Rage, Shame, Secrecy, and Regret. We'd love your sibling rivalry stories. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to thetakeaway.org. Jeannie, thanks so much.
Delighted.